2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Talk a little NBA. Keith Smith, kind enough to join us, one of your better NBA writers out there. Keith, how are you?
Hey, Keith.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, always fun to catch up. Always fun to chat this NBA playoffs. And I want to start with what we've seen in the Eastern Conference and kind of break down a little bit from your perspective some of the games that you've seen so far. But I'm looking at this series, and I thought, well, geez, you know, the Philadelphia series, that's going to be over. The Heat are going to roll. They're up 2-0, and then cut it back. It's 2-2, and then I'm thinking, okay, maybe the 76ers have a chance, and then they get blown out last night. Do you have a vibe on where this thing's going to go over the next two games?
Yeah, it's tough. They've tried very hard in the playoffs not to overreact to the immediate thing we just saw, but in this case, Philly looked so bad. They just could not find anything offensively. So, yeah, I think, Miami's not, I don't think they're going to be intimidated going on the road to Philadelphia. I think there's a good chance that they get that closed out. I'm just a little worried. Kyle Lowry, they just announced he's going to be out again. So Philly's been a better team at home. Maybe they can force a game seven, but I do think no matter what, Miami's going to win this series.
I keep seeing Donovan Mitchell's name mentioned along with Miami as far as this situation being monitored closely with the Utah Jazz. Are you hearing Donovan Mitchell's name intertwined with a lot of different programs?
Nothing overly serious from what I've heard talking to people. There's everybody around the league kind of has their eye on, all right, is Danny Ainge going to break that duo up? Is he going to start kind of the teardown process in Utah? We know he's not afraid to make big moves from his time in Boston. If he thinks the best thing to do is sell off and, you know, start rebuilding, then he will. But I haven't heard anything, definitive. What is interesting, though, is anytime any player of note is on the trade market, you're going to hear the Heat involved because they tend to be connected to just about everybody who becomes available or even is assumed to be available.
How do you think first off, there's multiple layers of the Jazz right now. Obviously, you have Quinn Snyder. Is he going to come back for another year with this Jazz team? What are they going to do with Rudy? What are you going to do with Donovan? If you could hop in the DeLorean and go into, November, of those three, how many do you think are on a Jazz sideline this year?
I kind of have a feeling we're going to see a new coach. I think part of that comes down to the old adage of you can't fire all the players, so you fire the coach. And whether that'll be a firing or an amicable parting or whatever phrasing they want to use for a change at the coach position. But that just seems to be the path that I think may happen here of, hey, we've kind of had some really great regular seasons with similar-ish results in the playoffs, falling short of where we want to go. And what I start to wonder a little is it, let's get one more run at this with Mitchell and Gobert with a new voice on the sideline and see if that can make it work. Because then if it doesn't, then maybe we have bigger conversations about the roster construction.
Well, I think that the Quinn Snyder story is interesting, too, because he has to be looking at Greg Popovich and knowing what that San Antonio organization is all about and thinking to himself, well, maybe that's an eventual point of interest for him. How much longer do you think Greg Popovich is going to be on the sideline for the Spurs?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really don't know. And no one I've talked to has a very good sense of it either. You talk to people and it's like, I thought it was going to be a year ago, 2 years ago. And then there's other folks who say, I don't know that he's going to be done anytime soon. So I'm really not sure. One thing that I do always kind of wonder with the coaches that they've been doing this, seemingly forever. It feels like once they go away, do they lose that thing that kind of kept them going, all those years and kind of kept them pushing forward, or is it one of those things I think we've all collectively forgotten because he's been the coach for so long? Pop came out of the front office. Does he just transition back to, all right, I'm going to do this instead, and we'll have a new coach leading the team from the sideline?
Let's just say Quinn Snyder hits the open market, whether he sits out a year or whether he wants to get back in, whether he wants to be with a new team this year. What is the overall respect of Quinn Snyder around the league? How quickly would he be on the unemployment line?
Yeah, not very long, especially if you had a couple of the higher profile jobs open like the Lakers. I get the sense that the Lakers are slow playing this to see, all right, does Quinn Snyder become available? Does maybe Doc Rivers become available? And is that the direction we want to go? And I think there's a sense of those are our veteran, respected coaches who have done a lot with their teams that they've had over the years. And, they can come in here and kind of get this thing righted, get us back on the right track, get us moving forward in the direction we want to go. So it wouldn't be very long at all unless he decided, hey, I'll take a year off. I'll do some TV. I'll kind of do that, popping around the league circuit, and then I'll move forward from there. But if he wants to coach next year and he's not going to be with the Jazz, he'll have a job without much worry.
Keith, how valuable do you see Rudy Gobert being?
I think he's really valuable. I think he gets overstated, way too much, the sense of, well, he can't be on the floor in the playoffs. I think that's absolute nonsense. It's, that seems to go all the way back to a couple of games against the Golden State Warriors at the peak of their powers where, there was probably about maybe 20 guys who could be on the floor defensively against that team at that period. So I do think there is questions about how valuable is he offensively. Could you get more out of him with a better pick-and-roll point guard as far as a passer goes? Could you run some stuff that's designed, hey, we're going to get him the ball and get him touches inside? I mean, we see him give Team USA all sorts of problems in the Olympics and on the international level. But then anybody who questions the defense, I would, start to wonder how much they really watch, because he's obviously, the premier defensive big man in the entire NBA, and that has massive, massive value, even if there are some questions about the other parts of his game.
So a lot of the work you do at Sports Wrap and really diving deep into contracts and looking at overall salary cap and luxury tax, from Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck's perspective, everybody here in Utah says, okay, you can't run it back. This isn't working. You gotta find a way to change it up. But realistically, when you look at the situation the Jazz are in, can they really do anything substantial without moving Rudy or Donovan?
It's going to be hard because the challenge is there are players who carry the bigger salary numbers that aren't those two. There's some real questions about what you could even get for them in trades at this point. And for example, a guy like Mike Conley, he's had a wonderful career, but this last season was not great for him. And at his age, the question will be is, all right, was it a one-year outlier or is the slippage has it started? And for a lot of the smaller guards, once you start down that path, it doesn't come back. So that's one question that's got to be answered if there's going to be any kind of trade there. And then after that, you're talking about Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, maybe Rudy Gay, Jordan Clarkson. But those guys are all guys that teams are going to have questions about as well. And you don't really want to get too into the game of trading first-round picks and things like that, because then if you, a year from now, we do have to move Mitchell and Gobert, then you're kind of outpicked and you're not in a great spot. So it really is going to be a bit of a challenging reset for the Jazz. But I have faith Danny Ainge will find something workable that he can figure out.
Do you have an idea or a good understanding of where the Jazz are as far as luxury tax pay And are they on a following year of a repeater? Are they that close to the repeater tax?
Yeah, so they're going to be, they're well over the tax for this season that just completed. They'll be in the tax next year, barring some kind of major move that I just don't necessarily see coming that's a real money-saving move. Then the repeater, what gets interesting with the repeater tax is how it works is you have to be in the repeater three out of four seasons or three seasons consecutively, but it doesn't kick in until the next season after that. So there's still time to work around that if that is a problem. But the sense most people seem to have is with Ryan Smith and the new ownership is, hey, we'll pay the tax if we think we're going to be good enough. Let's not make that a barrier to what kind of team we want to be.
All right, so I know you've been around Danny Ainge. You've covered the Celtics. You know what I don't know what to expect from him. But we know that anything is possible in regards to how aggressive he can be. With that in mind, could you see some fireworks happening here in Utah in the offseason?
Yeah, I absolutely could. Is he sitting down and running his evaluations, and he'll trust his people and his team that he has there. But if the decision is, you know what, we've gone as far as we can go with the Mitchell and Gobert pairing, it would not be a surprise at all if one of the two of them is the one he trades. Or if even he says, you know what, we're going to start over as much as we can and trade both of them, and we'll amass a whole bunch of draft picks and young players and all that, and we'll go forward from there. I always try to remind people, and it maybe shows my age a little bit, but this was the guy who the Celtics team that I grew up on in the Boston area, he was the one who went to Red Auerbach and said, you know, you should probably trade Bird and McHale now while they still have value, which is absolutely blasphemous, thinking of it from a historical perspective, but that's the way he thinks. It's all about what's next to get us closer to a title. There's no sentimentality involved.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been interesting going through this season with him and seeing how quiet he's been and how kind of he just sat back and observed. Do you think, is that kind of what you saw from him in beginning stages? How vocal was he in Boston? Because he didn't even really have comments in a locker room cleanout situation here.
Yeah, this was very different. He was always very available and open with the media. Any sort of big transaction, he would take time to talk through and share his thoughts and where the team was headed on that. Always did his preseason availability. Always was there for his end of season. So it was a little surprising. But my guess is that's trying to be respectful of Justin Zanuck and the role he holds in the organization, and the fact that it is a little awkward that he kind of was running things and then Ainge came in on top, and that makes things a little weird there. So my guess is there's just a respect level there of, hey, I'm not going to push this guy out the door or anything like that. I'm going to try to make sure we're being good partners here.
I know there's only 30 NBA coaching jobs, and so obviously everybody's going to want one of them, but realistically, knowing that you're job status is always on the whim based on what LeBron thinks. How appealing is the Lakers head coaching job?
Yeah, I like the qualifier you use, because that's the same one I always use too. There's only 30, so they're not going to have too big of a problem. I think there is a sense of, too, it's the Lakers. Even when it's bad, it's rarely that bad for very long. They have the ability more so than most to reset and kind of charge and get things moving. So I think that is something that has to be factored in as well. But yeah, if you're going to take that job, you need to be sitting down with Rob Pelinka, having a very real conversation with him and Jeannie Buss of, all right, if LeBron leaves, I don't want that to be put on me and attached to me if he goes elsewhere. We need to make sure we're all on the same page for the Lakers not just the LeBron Lakers, because that's really important as they start to build that thing back up.
So as we start to really boil it down to the best in the league this year, what do you – give me your predictions for a championship series and then the champion.
All along, I had said Phoenix and Milwaukee would be the two again. I thought they were both going to get back there, and I thought Phoenix was going to trip them up this time around. Watching Boston do what they have done against Milwaukee defensively and knowing that it looks pretty unlikely that we're going to see Chris Middleton in this series, I do think the Celtics have a pretty good chance of getting past them. And I think whoever wins that series is going to be Miami or Philadelphia. I just think they'll have been through the ringer and seen it, and they're not going to. It's not going to get any tougher for them in the next round. So give me whoever wins that series to come out. I do think now with Middleton out that will be Boston. Then on the other side, I'm going to stick with Phoenix, but I'm not quite as confident in it as I was because I know they've won in a blowout last night. They've been a little shaky though, and the Warriors look pretty good. So I think that's going to be a really good series in the West. I think it'll be Phoenix Golden State. I think that, you know, has a chance to be, you know, a seven game, you know, all timer.
Does Brooklyn sign Kyrie Irving in the offseason?
Yeah, they're going to, because it just doesn't make sense to do anything else. They wouldn't be able to replace him. There's no way to kind of flip it and do anything else. You traded James Harden in part because he wasn't getting along with Kyrie and didn't want to be there anymore. So they're going to re-sign him, get Ben Simmons on the floor, and hope that this all comes together the way they envisioned.
Well, hey, we appreciate your time. Great insight, as always, and look forward to catching up again here soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. Breaking down the NBA right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Keith Smith contributes to Sports Rack, Celtics Blog, Front Office Show. He's out there, does a tremendous job.